We want revival. We want awakening in our city big time. By the way, that's not a throwaway. My wife and I, not all the time, but regularly we pray for that. And I think we got to keep dreaming that way. The question is, what gets in the way? Could it be that this topic you have today for us is getting in the way of awakening and revival across Chicagoland?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's just even limited to Chicago. And, the whole idea of consumerism, it's as though we've become like Walmart in many cases. We're slashing prices and new light specials like Kmart and all kinds of different things that we're offering people with a consumer kind of mentality or approach that's causing people to choose churches based on these things rather than the things that are vital and important to actually becoming the church, becoming community, according to the Word of God.
Pastor, would you just start out with basics? What is it? What is consumerism, and how does that even connect with our faith in any way?
So here's a definition. It's the protection or promotion of the interests of consumers, the preoccupation of society with the acquisition of consumer goods. That's the definition. So consumerism promotes the idea of consumption. It's self-seeking, it's about self-satisfaction, or it's a buyer's market, and it even resists commitment. And I think in order for us to build biblically as congregations, we've got to be careful that we don't compromise in our effort to fill seats, that we don't compromise what we do and why we do it. So I think at the foundation of it, it's about motive. And it's on both sides. It's in the leadership that we have to be careful that in our eagerness and in our zeal to become successful, I should say, quote unquote, successful, which is often measured by quantity as opposed to quality, we have to be careful what we present as the lure, if you will, to become a part of our faith communities. On the other side, of course, the danger and the backlash, the fallout from that is we create that attitude in the believer who then searches for churches based on what the church can give them.
Okay.
But the church is a community that is, you know, and this is like a continuation from our last conversation, that involves an exchange, a give and a take.
No doubt. Nolan McCants is our guest right now, pastor of Harvest Church in Plainfield. And frankly, this is interesting to me because you are a, Nolan, for those that don't know Nolan, sharp-dressed, articulate, incredibly passionate about getting the right messaging out there. You owned a PR firm when you were 18, and yet you're saying some of this PR stuff can actually get in the way of the gospel. Am I getting that right, bro?
Man, you hit the nail on the head, and I was thinking about that, and of course, again, my passion is for the body of Christ, and not just my local church, not just here regionally or in America, but around the world, and I just see these things that take place that on the surface, it looks like this is wonderful. But you're right. I have a background in public relations and advertising and marketing. I know how to fill rooms with people. People paid me thousands of dollars to fill rooms with people. But in this case, I think, again, while some of these tools that we use are valid, okay, we just have to be careful that there's a proper balance in our pitching people, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have to be honest, straightforward with them. We have to be clear on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's not always a pretty picture. It's not always easy. It's not pie in the sky. It's not name it and claim it. It's not all that's going to go well with you. It's going to be a price paid to be a part of this faith community. We have to be upfront. We can't continue with the bait and switch.
Nolan, I love this is a conversation that we have to have, but it's this crazy balance because Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart." I mean, That sells big time when a culture is under the yoke of tyranny, under the yoke of kind of emotional slavery. So there's some huge upside that we've got to let the world know about coming to Jesus, but we can't step over that line of consumerism. How do we navigate that, Nolan?
Yeah, well, you know, it comes down to, you know, what are we going to use as bait, if you will? Are we going to present a polished Jesus Christ that we've kind of created for people? Or are we going to present the gospel, which really doesn't need help? And I think somewhere we've lost sight of the fact that Jesus doesn't need us to polish up his image to draw people to him. And then we get into, and so then we move into a place of and it's a question of sustainability. All right, so now. So you do this awesome job to package it up. You got the best building. You got all the bells and whistles. You got the coffee shop, the band, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I'm not knocking any of that. I think it's fabulous. But at the end of the day, sustainability. What's going to keep them there? Will it be your packaging and your program, or will it be the presence and the life of Christ?
Boom.
And if you flip that coin, you're going to have trouble long term, not short term. And that's the only thing about anything of the world. Short term, it looks wonderful and bright, like it's really working. But long term is what we're aiming for, because we're dealing in a business of eternity. And so you need people to have the proper roots, the proper anchors, in order for us to do what God has called us to do.
Now, Pastor, Jesus was very clear that he's the one who builds his church, but we do have a role that he's given us an opportunity to participate. I'd love for you to talk about what it is that's really sustaining our churches today in America.
Good, good. And so Jesus, yes, he did say he builds it, but he's also mentioned the fact, it's mentioned, and Paul mentioned it, the fact that we've been called to build with him. And in fact, you know, I do a lot of teaching on the kingdom of God. We help to build the church, but we don't build the kingdom. We are just the conduits to which the kingdom comes. And it's important to bring people to the understanding. And, of course, the church has several roles. The first is to bring people to Christ. The second is to make disciples, help them to become salt and light, and then to equip them properly to engage the world, to repeat that process, and to continue to cause the kingdom of God to be made manifest in the earth. That's our primary and should be our primary focus, and people have to be sold on that. Coming in the door, you can't do the bait and switch. You can't put all of these things before them. You can't do the Walmart thing, and then once they get in, surprise, now you have to move to this place. You have to progress to this level. And I don't think it's a thing where we need to even do that. I think if we're clear on what it is that we're presenting, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Okay, that's serious business. That's real. That's legitimate. People understand it. But then when you move to the next place and you get people to understand that they were actually created to make something and someone better, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they can achieve far beyond their wildest imagination and changing their world. That's a completely different sales pitch. It's scriptural, it's legitimate, it's long-lasting, it is incredible. That's what I want to present to people.
I love it. Nolan McCants, come on, is right, brother. I'll tell you, you're singing off the same sheet of music as a friend of mine kind of mentored me from afar, and that's Dallas Willard, who he said it this way. He said, there's never any intention or means that God called us into without a big, holy vision from God. So you're not saying don't cast a vision. You're just saying don't touch it up. Don't Photoshop it. Let's just give
it straight up. Good, 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 good. I like that. Don't Photoshop it. I don't believe it. I'm a photographer. One of my claims to fame is what you see is straight out of the camera.
One of my favorite newer message that you're sending to the kingdom is through your book, The Kingdom Message in Plain Language. And just thinking about some of the things that I've read in the little snippets of inspiration, would you tell us what you mean when you talk about the budge factor?
Okay, and actually it's the budget. Sorry for the typo. It's a budget.
No
the
problem.
Budget factor.
So, yeah.
You know, many things that we do, and again, you know, we're talking human beings being responsible for building ministry. I think some of the culture, the corporate culture, has spilled over into the church in not such a good way. And so you even hear terms like branding and marketing and market share and customer service as it relates to ministry. Well, those are corporate terms. Legitimate, you know, I mean, I believe when you talk about customer service, you know, the way I would put it is we need to care for the people. I prefer caring for people than customer service. But the fact that it's spilled over, also budget, the whole idea of maintaining the budget. If you build a big building, they may or may not come. If you have all of these programs that you've initiated, again, in an effort to be Walmart, in an effort to be the mall, to be the best of everything, you have to maintain that with some money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, when you build those numbers, the tail begins to wag the dog. And so now you can't tell the truth because the bait and switch won't work for you. You'll lose the customer.
Yeah, you know what, Nolan? Ooh, man, you are meddling right now, my brother.
I think so on purpose.
You are meddling, and that's some good stuff. And, you know, here's what's true about this. Nolan, we can all fall prey to this, and we just need to keep this clean and straight before the Lord, and it'll come out cleaner and straighter to the people.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And that could be difficult in certain circles and in the time that we live in. You see, these kinds of voices, these kinds of conversations are often muted because there's a fear. You know, in my case, you know, my church is in a huge church. So people hear me make these kinds of statements. They say, well, you know, if you had a mega church, you wouldn't make that statement. Hmm. I think it comes down to the heart. And it comes down to a motive, and it comes down to knowing what God has called you to do. And I just think we have to continue to provoke with these kinds of stirring conversations and make sure we continue to examine our hearts as leaders so that what we do, it's pure. And at the end of the day, there has to be a dependence on the grace of God to do what only He can do. And that will secure the sustainability issue, because whatever God calls into play, He will maintain and sustain. And so we have to trust God in that. And sometimes in that process,
yeah,
it doesn't look good. It doesn't look appealing. But in the scripture, in the parable about the kingdom, it says, listen, it's to paraphrase, it's really not all that attractive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mustard seed. You know, it's a
yes.
It's the birds and the trees and all of these small things, the little leaven. Okay, so it's not all that attractive, but it's powerful.
Yeah, you're
right. And it has the capacity to change all of life.
You are right on. And listen, I do know of a man that has a mega church who spoke the same things you said, and he titled a book called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. That's John Piper, and he's singing off the same sheet of music. Nolan McCants, thanks for being with us. We're up against it here, my man.
All right, thank you.